Coming up on show 1093, when is an electric Jeep cheaper than its piston equivalent? Stick around and I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, how many Cybertruck reservations does Tesla have? We think we know, we'll discuss. Why VW Group could move to online car sales, what it means for their dealerships and the role that they will play, and how a supercapacitor could help a hybrid motorcycle boost its range and performance. That's in the podcast today. Well, if you get any value from this show, do consider supporting us on Patreon. It's how you can businesses or individuals can fund this podcast. If you get any value, entertainment or learning something, you can check it out. Patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Oh, it's patreon.com, by the way. And you get a unique ad-free podcast feed as well, which you can punch into your podcast app only for patrons as well. So if we do ever put a commercial in here for everyone else to help keep the show going, you don't get to hear those. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Tuesday, 25th of May. My name is Martin Lee. Been through every EV story today, and this is what matters. Well, the Chevy Bolt sales have jumped 54% during the first quarter of 2021. And looking at the figures for the US, it shows a big increase on this time last year. Chevy Bolt deliveries totaled 9,025 units in January, February, and March, 54% up on the equivalent last year, says GM Authority. Low Chevy Bolt EV sales numbers have typically been an area of concern for GM and its fans, calling for 30 EVs by the middle of the decade, says GM. But with this vehicle, the Bolt so far, they haven't been smashing it out of the park. I think it's a really solid EV that I don't talk about enough. I'm conscious of that because I can't get it here, so it's kind of not on my radar. But I want to talk about it more because it's so good for so many people. But this does represent a glimmer of hope in terms of the sales figures going up for GM and for EVs as a whole. Now, the Bolt does get a refresh launching soon for a 2022 model year. Also, it's got new fascias, front and rear, various improvements to the interior, much updated. There's a new Bolt EUV coming as well. And from what I hear, those cars are now with dealers or at least shipping to dealers. And so you should, if you've got an order in, you should get yours soon, fingers crossed. But yes, selling well, but still, you know, looking at that as a whole, 9,000 vehicles over a quarter, yes, they are still quite low numbers if you compare it to the market leader, Tesla, with the Model 3 and, you know, coming up fast, the Model Y. Let's talk about Tesla. Testing Luminar's laser sensors and LiDAR. Now, a Tesla Model Y has been photographed and tweeted about in Florida with LiDAR sensors on the roof. And they're made by Luminar, a Florida-based company. The sighting caused a bit of a stir in Tesla world, given that Elon Musk has repeatedly, for years, bashed LiDAR as sensors. And in fact, more recently, really kind of doubling down, I think is the phrase, in terms of a vision-based system, removing all other sensors for their autonomous plans and only using cameras. So why are they using LiDAR, which he has said multiple times he doesn't like? Well, it can make a 3D map of its local environment, says The Verge. And Tesla has entered into a partnership with Luminar to use LiDAR for testing and developing their vehicles, according to Bloomberg. What exactly that partnership is, we don't know. Neither company will comment. But it could point to some shortcomings in the technology, says The Verge, that Tesla has opted to use and wants to power its so-called full self-driving in the future. Model Y was sporting a manufacturer's license plate that is registered to Tesla in California. This license plate has been seen on other Teslas and a Cybertruck as well. So my first reaction when I saw this story come out, which was, you know, there's a manufacturer plate on a Tesla Model Y sporting LiDAR. Well, I was, you know, initially thought, well, this could be Apple. Now, they are a manufacturer. These are manufacturer plates. Could be anyone that bought a Model Y and is testing. But it turns out, looks like it is owned by Tesla. Hey, look, this just could be for validation. So, yeah, they're going for a vision-based system, but you still want to correlate that with other technologies. It doesn't mean that Elon Musk is about to do a complete 180, say, I got it wrong, we're putting LiDAR in all of our vehicles. That's not going to happen. This could be as simple as Tesla saying, okay, well, let's test other vehicles or our vehicles with added radar, added LiDAR, maybe even doubling up the cameras, and correlating that with the system that we've got on our production cars and seeing, how it contrasts and compares. It could be as simple as that. This does not mean that Tesla is doing a U-turn, which is how much of this story was reported by the media. Let's talk about Tesla some more. 1 million Cybertruck reservations, according to one blog. Tesla has already accumulated the magic million, according to the latest tally. Now, this tally keeps track of different trims as well, and the mix has stayed consistent with 48% of buyers going for dual motor, 44.5% going for the tri-motor, and only 7.5% of reservation holders ordering the base model. That's a single motor version, according to the crowdsourced tracker of VIN numbers. So this isn't foolproof, and it's very much not official. It's a VIN number tracker. It says Electrek. Musk also warned that delays are possible as Tesla is still working on building Gigafactory Texas in Austin, or as I hear him call it, Austin, which is how maybe I should be calling it. I thought the place was called Austin, but or if you hear Elon Musk say it, he's a Tesla in Austin anyway. However I meant to say it, the Cybertruck is going to be made there. And the company would face challenges since the electric pickup truck is designed with an exoskeleton, which they've never done before. Elon Musk saying production will start by the end of the year. And, you know, who am I to argue with the CEO, who has a little bit more insight than I do? I just think production of the Model Y from Texas would probably be achievable by the end of the year, considering that the buildings are going up, but they are vacant, as in, you know, those flyovers that you see on YouTube all the time. Yeah, the buildings are cropping up in Texas, but there's nothing inside them. And so the presses that are required for that exoskeleton haven't even arrived on site. Some say they take about a month to build per press. And also, they've got the Y and the Cybertruck have got to come out of Texas. And so, you know, and then they've got to make some and test them. Well, actually, Tesla are kind of well known for using their customers as the testing base, but that's a whole different topic. But, you know, any other car manufacturer would make the first 100 or 200 and then spend months and months testing them in the hottest and coldest climates around the world for validation again before they went anywhere near a customer. But that's not the way that Tesla has done business over the years, and their customers don't seem to mind getting things that then go wrong. They always fix them up in the end. You take it back to a service center and they'll sort it out. Okay, before I move on, once again, I can't see it happening by the end of the year. I really want to be proven wrong. There's so many Cybertruck reservation holders, maybe even 1 million, I don't know, that really want to get behind the wheel. And I can't wait to see what it looks like in final trim, because we've only seen the prototype. I mean, the final version is going to look different to that. A bit smaller, apparently. Anyway, moving on. VW could move to online car sales, as the VW group boss, Alex Smith, has written to car dealers to tell them an agency sales model is being considered. It affects dealers across the group's brands, VW, Audi, Seat, Skoda. The letter says the group is planning to introduce an agency sales model for EVs that's thought to be a precursor to a wider rollout of agency sales for the VW group on all models, says Car Dealer magazine. Agency models see car dealers paid a handling fee for dealing with new cars. The manufacturer actually sells the cars directly to consumers via their website. In a leaked letter marked highly confidential, which has been leaked, they told its investors that a retail agency model for their pure battery electric cars is planned. It says the model will be introduced for VW, Skoda, Cupra, Seat, and VW Commercial, and indeed Audi. Look, pros and cons to this. I'm far from an expert on the world of car dealers. But as long as they're still able to make their money that they need to make from handling those new cars, it would provide transparency for buyers, because the price you see online is the price that everybody, at least in your country, is paying, because you're buying direct from the manufacturer. They can be more flexible with those prices as well, in terms of hitting the right price points to ensure those cars sell. In other words, dealers don't buy the car and then mark them up in price to make a profit, which is fine. It's how some dealers, you know, make money. So pros and cons to that. As long as the payment is good enough to dealers, they'll still get a reasonable handling fee. And of course, they look after other service, like after sales service. When those cars are either, you know, being sold or second or third hand, my question is, would they then go back to the dealer? Could the dealer then sell them on second-hand, third-hand, etc.? Because then they could make money that way. And also, you know, the good thing is it gets that off the balance sheet of the dealerships as well, right? Because dealers have to buy the cars from the manufacturers, load up the inventory, and then it's their job to sell them. But of course, they sit on their balance sheet, and that's a big outlay as well. So again, that was maybe it's an added bonus that I see it anyway for those dealers. That's a story that will definitely rumble on, and I'll bring you more as we find out. Still to come on the podcast today, we're talking about the price for the Peugeot e-boxer van, and headline story today when a Jeep Wrangler electric version is cheaper than its pure piston version. Now, let's talk about Ofgem, a UK-based story here. The Office of Gas and Electricity Markets, known as Ofgem, has invested £300 million into expanding the charging network today to increase the country's low-carbon future, says City AM website. 1,800 new charge points are going to be cropping up at motorway service areas and key trunk road spots. The investment will triple the current network, Ofgem said. So they must be talking about DC fast chargers here. And meanwhile, a further 1,750 charge points going into towns and cities delivered by the electricity networks themselves. Interestingly enough, that's where the money is going to be funneled. The network investment marks a bid in the UK's climate commitments. And of course, later this year, the UK is hosting the climate conference, COP26. So we need to be doing more than just writing nice headlines, although I predict many more of these kind of stories over this year, so we can claim some glory when the world's leaders come to the UK and we can show off our climate chops. Next, the Peugeot e-boxer has got a price, at least in the UK. Again, Peugeot has opened reservations for the e-boxer van. It's the brand's largest full electric light commercial vehicle, available to order now. Two battery options, and the pricing starts at £49,000, excluding 20% VAT, after the plug-in van grant. So that's the cheapest you'll get it. It's £49,000. There is an L2 and an L3 and L4 version, different battery sizes. The smaller battery is 37 kilowatt hours, and that'll do 73 miles. There is a larger battery of 70 kilowatt hours, and that'll do 139 miles. Again, depending on what those vans are used for, regular routes, last mile deliveries, then, you know, small battery, 73 miles could be enough, but in cold weather with some, you know, elevation, that dwindles quickly. Next, the largest order of electric school buses has happened in North America, and the largest student transportation provider in North America. First Student placed an order for electric school buses with Lion, says Clean Technica. Lion manufactures all-electric medium and heavy-duty urban vehicles. Together, they announced the order. First Student ordering 260, this is amazing, 260 all-electric school buses to be used. It's a huge win for electric school buses. And, you know, but more importantly, it's a huge win for our children, because our children don't have to be polluted with the air they breathe as they're waiting to get on board and off board. And also even riding a vehicle, like, you know, windows get opened, vehicles get stuck in traffic, and fumes enter the vehicles. And at least it wouldn't be from the vehicle they're riding in that's killing them. That's great news. Next, Jeep Wrangler. Headline story, Jeep Wrangler 4xe, 4xe, but I'm sure they want me to say it 4xe. The plug-in hybrid version is actually cheaper than the pure gas version. Lease deals can be tricky. You have to read the fine print. However, in the case of Jeep's current leasing incentives, they obviously want to get these off their books. The all-new Wrangler 4xe plug-in hybrid is the real deal compared to the piston version, says Inside EVs. Jeep will lease you the 2021 Wrangler Unlimited Sahara 4xe. It's a plug-in hybrid, $250 a month for 36 months with $4,000 down. The rate is for California, but the deal is really similar for other areas as well compared to the gas-only version, which is less than $30,000 to buy and is more expensive to lease. Over $300 a month with $4,000 down for a car that is on an MSRP $11,000 less than the plug-in hybrid version. So go for the plug-in hybrid version. I don't know why Jeep are wanting to do a deal on these. Obviously, they just need to shift stock or hit targets or whatever. Go for it if you're in the market. Next, hybrid electric motorcycles could use supercapacitors to boost their range. The French company NAWA, N-A-W-A, is making a prototype of their racer motorcycle that uses a supercapacitor to boost its range. Using a 9 kilowatt hour lithium-ion battery, has 110 miles of range, but a 100 watt ultra capacitor increases the range to 180 miles and boosting the peak power output, says inputmag.com. Supercapacitors are basically batteries, with a very, very high voltage limit. And it will fill and drain extremely quickly, faster than lithium-ion batteries. And it's large enough and expensive enough already that you don't want to add more weight to a bike. With a supercapacitor acting as a cushion, you can capture all of the regen energy that would be wasted, because you can't put that much energy back into the lithium-ion battery that quickly on a small battery on a bike. So you can use that as a buffer, capture all of the regen, also reduce stress on the main battery when you open the throttle on the bike and want instant power. Nice. I'll pop a link in the show notes to read more. Finally, like, I keep talking about the Ford F-150 truck because there's a reason to talk about it. Sorry, another story today. Yesterday we mentioned the F-150 Pro on sale at less than 40 grand. Great for fleets with telematics data. There's now, Ars Technica have what I missed yesterday, which was the price jump from the base to the extended range. So 230 miles to 300 miles. What we didn't know at the time was what the premium was. This model will do 300 miles on a single charge, have a 240 volt, 80 amp charger. It's called the Charge Station Pro, and it fills the battery in 8 hours if you're at home or, you know, the office or wherever this is based, if it's a fleet vehicle. And with the bigger battery, it's a $10,000 premium before incentives and tax credits. So there you go. Just under, it's $49,974 for the long range Ford F-150 Pro Edition, which has the smaller screen inside, no bells and whistles, but is designed for, it's got the, like, the hard wearing seats. It hasn't got the light bar across the front, but I think the compelling version. Okay, right. Question of the week time with emobilitynorway.com. I love this. So VW, Herbert Diess, who runs that, and Elon Musk have been tweeting recently saying that hydrogen is a fool's errand for commercial, for passenger vehicles. But Daimler saying, no, they believe in hydrogen. So what do you think? If you have an opinion on this, let me know. Yes or no, both good answers. But if it's yes, then what's your opinion on using hydrogen for transport? Email me your thoughts. hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, thank you to everyone who leaves a review on Apple Podcasts, on the podcast app, on your phones and tablets. And if you can take 2 minutes to leave a star rating or even a few words as well, that's mega. Really helps out. Premium partners of the show, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley, who runs the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and eMobilityNorway.com. Hey, have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.